Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
That's right. This is Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler. And it looks like Johnny Danger, I don't want to call him a former co-host just yet, but his day job has him working overtime a lot lately. So he will call in when he can each week. He is not currently on the line with us, but hopefully we'll hear from him some tonight. But either way, we've got a pretty big show. We've got Cameron Cade, who, as I was telling Josh off the air, I asked him to call in because I saw he was scheduled to wrestle at Southern Extreme Championship Wrestling this Friday night in the main event against Robert Gibson, but that show has since been canceled. But he wrestles everywhere else, it seems. Anarchy, UIW, Southern Fried. So and he's got a show in South Carolina this weekend that he can talk about, so we'll have plenty to talk about with him. How was your weekend, Josh?
It was okay. Did the usual second job on the weekend. Then last night I attempted to watch Payback before falling asleep during the pre-show and then not waking up until around right before the Last Man Standing match, actually. So, you know, it just I don't know what it is. Hornswoggle and El Torito just could not keep my attention.
You love the match from the last pay-per-view, though.
I did, and that's why I was so excited. But I think what honestly did it is, like, when I watched Raw the week before, and they did a cheesy thing with the tail, I was just like, I lost complete interest in it. It's like, so now you go from, like, an interesting midget angle to way over-the-top gimmick cartoon BS, and I was like, I can't deal with it. And so I turned it on, and just Josh Matthews' voice just was talking, and I'm reading Ole Anderson's book, and the next thing I know, it's 9 o'clock when I'm waking up off the couch and realizing that I missed half the pay-per-view.
Did you watch the rest of it?
I did, and it was okay. I mean, I just, and the more I watch these pay-per-views on the network, they just don't feel like pay-per-views. They don't feel like big events. And then I think this whole thing with the title situation is just kind of silly. It's like, just strip him already. Like, this is just ridiculous. Like, they keep extending it and extending and extending it. It's like, he's going to be out till at least July. We all know this. There's no getting around it. So just go and strip him of the title, get it, and do something with it. I mean, I don't understand why they're trying to prolong this as much as they can.
So. Yeah, I actually hadn't heard any estimates on how long he'd be out, so I wasn't sure what was going on with that. But I agree with you. I enjoyed the show mostly, but I didn't necessarily agree with you last time. I thought the last show was a pretty good pay-per-view quality event, but this one didn't necessarily feel that way. But there were some good matches. I thought the Bray Wyatt-John Cena one was entertaining. the Evolution one and with the Shield was not as good as the last pay-per-view, but it was still a pretty good match.
Yeah, I thought the same about this one. I feel like they were trying so hard to top what Cena and Wyatt had done that they were using gimmicks just for the sake of using gimmicks, and I feel
yeah.
like and sadly I feel like these past two events, like, you know, WrestleMania was fantastic, and I feel like Extreme Rules and now Payback, they're just using gimmicks for the sake of gimmicks, and I don't think it's really adding to the stories. I don't think it's adding to anybody's characters. I just think they're just throwing as much plunder in the ring to try to pop whoever's watching, and I feel like that's really, it's hurting the business in my eyes. I mean, it's like, it's almost like lazy. It's lazy booking. That's exactly what it's become. It's lazy booking. They could have got so much more over if that would have been a 6-man elimination tag where it was just a tag match, not this whole no holds barred silly stuff. It's like, just do a match and tell the story in the ring with the match. Because like we said, at Extreme Rules, they already did Anything Goes pretty much.
Yeah.
So I just didn't understand that. And then the other thing with, like, the Bray Wyatt and Cena thing, I was absolutely, like, I thought that match was so fantastic. But one small thing just makes me question the entire thing. And not Cena running down the aisle after he wins, you know, that kind of, you know, irked me a little bit. It's Bray Wyatt using the steel chair. Here's a man so evil and so heinous, but yet he's just going to jab you with a chair.
Yeah.
I know they got the internal
like the
rule.
When Cena threw the stairs at him, that was pretty good.
Right. That's way worse than getting hit by a chair in the face. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that was way worse. And, you know, that's going to have more long-term ramifications if that knocks him out than a chair to the back of the head or a chair to the forehead with a hand, whatever it is. It's just, I felt like that whole idea of the steel chair, I would just say, just tell the guys don't use chairs anymore. I mean, if you're not going to let them use a chair, then tell them no more chairs. Because when they pick up a steel chair and they jab you in the gut with it, it just defeats the purpose of having the steel chair.
Right.
I don't know. Just my opinion.
Did you attend
any
live
indie shows this
event?
Week? Yeah, there was nothing going on here in Florida this week that I know of, so.
Well, I was at Wizard World Atlanta Comic Con, so I didn't attend any indie shows, but I did go to SmackDown and main event taping on Tuesday.
I was going to ask you how that went.
I thought it was a good show, and there were 3 dark matches that, I mean, you can watch SmackDown and main event, so everyone already knows what happened there, but the main event dark match was Fandango and Layla against Santino Marella and Emma, which was about what you'd expect. It was a comedy match.
Right.
But surprisingly, in between main event and SmackDown, there was a match between Dolph Ziggler and Sami Zayn, which was very exciting. It was cool to see him. You know, I'm guessing they might bring him up.
Did the crowd react to Sami Zayn?
No, I did hear faint Olay chant.
Yeah.
It never really caught on because most of the people probably didn't know what that was about.
Yeah.
And then the dark main was the Shield versus the Wyatts yet again, which as good as their matches have been, I think we've seen enough of it for now.
So I agree.
But it was a fun show. Pretty decent crowd, I guess. And then at World, the Big Show was there. I went to his panel on Saturday and Stan Lee's panel yesterday. And the Walking Dead Escape was at Phillips Arena, which is like it's basically like Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse. It's like an immersive zombie, not haunted house, but like you run through and zombies chase you. But it was very unorganized, and we got I would estimate about halfway through before they told us just to stop, and we waited probably half an hour or so. As they continued to send groups in, they were sending groups through every 15 minutes, so, you know, there was just this backup building up. Like I said, it was probably about halfway through, and finally I asked, like, what are we waiting for? And I knew they didn't want to break kayfabe, so to speak, or whatever, too much, but basically didn't have enough zombies ready yet. So we were like, well, the first half of this wasn't that exciting, so we're done. We're going to leave, and we walked back through. And as we walked out, we went through an area that we weren't really supposed to go through, and there were still probably 150 to 200 zombie people waiting to get into zombie makeup, and then another 100 or so on the other side going through the zombie training already in
makeup.
So I've heard that I think it's a touring thing that's supposed to be in a different city each weekend, and I've heard the rest of the tour has been postponed. So I would assume that it has been equally disastrous at previous tour stops. But Booker T was there for whatever reason, signing autographs for free, so I did get a free glossy 8x10 picture of Booker T up there. And a free comic book.
Wow.
So that was the extent of my wrestling attendance over the weekend or since the last show.
I will say this. I did watch NXT TakeOver the other night, and that was it was a very good show. And that's why I was asking about Sami Zayn, because it's weird, because, and I've seen it a lot with a lot of the NXT talent. Like, I mean, Paige is one of the most over people, you know, on the computer. Let's just go ahead and put it what it is. On the computer, she is unbelievably over. And then you see last on the pay-per-view, she got, like, no real reaction. Some of the fans, you know, just didn't care for her. But then, you know, you watch her on NXT TakeOver, and she just comes out to cut a promo, and they're just, like, you know, they're popping for her like she's a road warrior. And it's weird to me, and it's like this weird connection right now that, like, whatever they're doing on NXT, it's not crossing over to the main roster. And I'm starting to wonder if, like, could this hinder some of the NXT talents?
Well, the same thing happened with Emma, and it was partially because of the way they brought her up to Raw.
Yeah, she debuted weird. I might lie there.
But
I'm even seeing Adam Rose. Adam Rose isn't getting – okay, you were there live. How was Adam Rose's live reaction in the city of Atlanta?
I don't think anybody knew who he was, but then once they saw it, they kind of thought it was fun. But it wasn't like everybody was – I think what they're expecting with that is like a Fandango sort of reaction, and they're not getting that yet.
Yeah. Well, and that's like that weird thing that I'm kind of getting from NXT is, like, I'm starting to wonder, like, how many people are really watching the network in general and how many people are really keeping up with NXT, because, you know, if you get 667,000 viewers or subscribers or whatever, I'm not seeing a lot of, like, carryover. Like, I don't see a lot of conversation on Twitter about NXT from a local sense. Yeah, I don't hear a lot about it from any people that I know in Atlanta that watch wrestling, really. So it's like one of those things where it's like, it's hard to gauge, but it's always something we have to gauge because we want to have this idea that wrestling matters in Georgia. But I'm starting to wonder, like, you know, how many people are really watching anything outside of just the WWE.
Yeah.
SmackDown was sold out, right?
I don't know. There were a lot of empty seats until, and I know some people were there. I don't know how you get into this, but there were seat fillers, which means you get in for free, but they move you around, like, depending on where they need to fill the seat, so it's close to the camera. But I doubt it was sold out. But it wasn't
that. That's even more surprising.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got
figured Cameron it would always
on.
Out.
SmackDowns often don't. They often have end up having to curtain off areas and upgrade people's tickets. If they bought the nosebleed seats, you know, they just automatically move them down to the better seats. I don't know if this one was one of those kind of shows. It did have a decent crowd, but I wouldn't say it was sold out.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I believe we've got Cameron Cade on, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Is that you, Cameron?
Yes, sir. It's me.
Hello,
You're
sir.
On. Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan, and that is Josh. How are you tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
So, Jonathan, you want to go ahead and ask the first question, or you want me to go ahead and hit it?
Well, I was just going to say, like I said before, the reason I asked you to call in tonight was because you had a match against Robert Gibson scheduled for this Friday, and I understand that show has been postponed or something like that. Do you know if you will get to, if you'll get to have that match later down the road?
Yeah, unfortunately it was postponed, but I've been told that it's going to happen later on down the line, maybe in July at some point.
Okay. Do you know why it was postponed or anything?
I believe there's a problem with the building, and also there's a rodeo in town. And they said the last time they ran against the rodeo, they lost a lot of money.
Gotcha. So are you looking forward to working Robert Gibson?
Yeah, I thought that would be a great learning experience. I was kind of excited.
So was he somebody that you kind of looked up to when you got, like, before you got in the business, or, you know, how familiar are you with the Rock and Roll Express?
Pretty familiar. I wouldn't say I was a big fan as a kid, but it's definitely a team that I've watched, you know, since I've started wrestling to study tape on. I mean,
right.
Because they're a great, great babyface team.
I know SECW has run once or twice in the past couple months. Was there any build-up to that match? Did you have anything going on with him at the previous shows?
I believe this is his first appearance if they've been back.
Go ahead, Jonathan. Go ahead.
How did that match come about? Have you wrestled at their previous shows, and did you put out a challenge or something, or was that just how it was booked?
I guess I was the guy available. There was no build to it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
No, you go ahead. We'll take turns.
You predominantly work in the South Carolina area. Just a lot of Georgia fans aren't very familiar with the South Carolina area. Fill us in some of those promotions out there. Fill us in some of the top guys out there. And just tell us, who to look for from the South Carolina area that we need to keep our eye on that could possibly be coming, to Georgia in the near future.
The only company I work for in South Carolina really is TransSouth Wrestling and Union. And they have Cauliflower Chase Brown, who's a great wrestler, got a very catch-as-catch-can style. He does a lot of submission holds and ground-based work, and he's pretty awesome. And they have Pete Casanova down there, who does he's done some WWE tryouts. He's like a little wrecking ball, but he can do like 630 splashes off the top rope and stuff.
And you have a match.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, is there anybody else out there besides just those two guys?
In the Carolinas?
Yeah, in the Carolinas in general, or any other, Because I've been hearing a lot of great things coming out of the South Carolina, North Carolina. Of course, PWX has North Carolina, and, a lot of the Georgia guys don't know who some of these guys are. And just, since you work around in those areas, maybe you could kind of clue us in on these.
Top guys in PWX are Caleb Conley and Cedric Alexander. I figure the most Georgia people would be kind of familiar with those guys.
Yeah. But I mean, you wouldn't tell anybody that they need to watch Andrew Everett or Trevor Lee or Zane Riley or any of those guys. They're worth watching.
Well, Zane Riley is he's awesome. He's a comedy guy, freaking hilarious.
Right.
I'm not sure I've ever worked too many shows with Andrew Everett or Trevor Lee. I know they're doing big things in PWG right now.
Right.
I know Andrew Everett does some really crazy high flying stuff, so yeah, he's definitely somebody you should look up.
Okay, Johnny, go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned that you the only South Carolina promotion you work for is Trans South Wrestling, and you got a match there this Saturday, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you know who you're facing?
Right now, I'm in a feud with Alex Savagino, so I don't know. I'm guessing I'm going to have to put up with him again.
All right. And then you recently wrestled, I believe I saw you and Nigel Sherrod posting about your match at Southern Fried Championship Wrestling and how great the match was. And this isn't anything against you, certainly, and also not anything against Nigel, but it seems like that's a weird style matchup, I guess. How did you guys – what about that match that you both thought was so great?
When I first found out about it, I didn't really have high expectations. I thought, I figured that Ike was more of an old school guy with maybe some comedy mixed in. So I wasn't really much out of it, but tore it down really. He said that the cameraman said the match was 25 minutes or plus. The longest match of the night. I didn't seem nowhere near that long when I was out there.
So how did you get your start in professional wrestling?
Something I always wanted to do. So I looked up wrestling schools. I picked WWA 4. I was living in Augusta still then, so I drove 3 hours there every night and 3 hours back home for 5 days a week for a year going to wrestling school.
So what was it like training with Mr. Hughes?
Tiring.
Could you elaborate on that?
It's a lot of conditioning involved there. They have 4 rings and you get in, you hit the rope 20 times in each ring. After you've done your 100 Hindu squats, 100 jumping, did all your stretching routines. Then after you get on all that, you actually get to train.
Right. So, what class were you a part of? Were you there with Were you there with I'm trying to think of some of the guys. Were you there with AR Fox? Or were you there after him?
I was actually there before him. I was there with Heath Slater and Jonathan Gresham and the Hooligans.
Okay. So what was that like working with those guys, getting to train with those guys and kind of, doing that kind of thing with them?
Back then we're all brand new, so I didn't really – they were all green. I was green, so they weren't all awesome then as they are now.
Okay.
Did you see anything then in Heath Slater that made you think he would one day be in WWE?
He was probably the better guy there. He did a lot more high flying back then, but he always had a really good size, so it was easy to see why he was interested.
Well, you do a lot of work for several promotions in Georgia, and I don't know how recently you've worked for some of these, but I know you've done a lot of work at Anarchy and UIW and Southern Fried and elsewhere. Are you still doing Anarchy on a regular basis?
I haven't been there in a while. I need to meet up with Bill and Franklin and see about getting back up there soon. I was in UIW a couple weeks back and had a match with Ken Lee. I should be returning there at some point this summer for their Cruiserweight tournament.
So you're not currently scheduled for any of their upcoming shows in the next few weeks?
No, I haven't got a return date yet.
Okay, I'm just going to put it real simple. We got about 40 minutes to kill, and you're killing me. I need some charisma. I need some fire. I need you to, get some pizzazz out here. I need to cut some promos. I need to do something. This is the worst interview I've had in a long time. You are seriously killing me. Either you don't want to do the interview, and John and I just sit here and just talk about other shit, or you can kind of answer these questions a little bit more elaborately, because this is really starting to bore me.
All right.
I'm dead serious, man. I was excited about having you on, and, you really are just not answering questions. So, you either do not want to do the interview, or or what? I mean, what's going on? Like, I'm just trying to fill you out here, man.
Guess I'll pick it up a little bit.
Because I mean, we're just trying to, you know, we're trying to hear about you, trying to get to know who Cameron Cate is, and I'm getting like one word answers, and that's not going to fill 45 minutes. So let's start from the top. What got you in the business? What made you say I want to be a pro wrestler? And why is Cameron Cate someone that we should be watching at UIW or at Anarchy or wherever he goes?
The basic story was I've been a lifelong fan of wrestling. You know, that's the only thing I could ever think of that I ever wanted to be. There's nothing else I ever wanted to do. So I did my research. I looked up schools. WWE School is where I wanted to go.
Okay.
Had a great trainer there with Hughes. Had a great class of guys to work with. Had a lot of guest trainers come in through there. Glacier, Mark Jindrak, a lot of those guys. It was a privilege to work there, learn there.
So when you got into wrestling, what was your like your lifelong goal? Like what made you say, I'm going to be a pro wrestler, and where are you trying to get with this? I mean, if you train with Gresham and the you know, the Hooligans, the Cutters, you know, those guys have been almost all over the United States now, and you know, are you trying to get on their level? You're trying to go past them? Where is this going for you? What's your end game?
I'd like to at least get a couple tours of Japan in or something. I know with my size, I'm not really on the top of the WWE's radar. But yeah, I'd like to get out, travel around the world, and you know, at least be successful enough where I could actually, you know, make a little money, get my name out there, be somebody that people respect.
You post
okay.
a lot of pictures of your,
go ahead,
of your progress, of your progress in the gym and whatnot. So when you say your size, are you? I don't know how tall you are or anything like that, but you look like you're in pretty good shape. What is it about your size? Are you short or what?
Yeah, I'm only 5'9", which is I think the WWE has put out a lot of memos lately saying that they're not hiring any more guys that are 5'9". Even Joey Ryan went on a spiel about it on the internet. And they got enough guys like that at NXT and Daniel Bryan on the main roster. So
yeah.
And I'm 195 pounds. I'm always trying to put on more weight. I guess in my brain, it's hard to do. So, yeah, it's always a work in progress. I mean, it's a struggle every day.
So, when in your career, you worked for Anarchy, you worked for, you know, Trans South, you worked for these promotions. Is there one like pivotal point in any of these shows that you've ever worked that you said, I know I'm on the right path?
I think if you go out there and you have a good match and everything's clicking, and you go back to the back and you know all the veterans and stuff are telling you that you're doing good and they were impressed, and, you know you're doing the right things. I've had Manny Fernandez is a guy, he shows up in Union a lot. He's always there mm-hmm. to critique the matches, and I've done some training with him also. And he gets got a lot of guys tryouts with the WWE. And he says I'm on the right path and I'm doing the right things, and he tries to help me out a lot. So I'm grateful for that.
So what's that like to train with a legend like Manny Fernandez? I mean, that's the guy that – you know, when I was growing up, Manny Fernandez was one of the guys. You know, he was one of the hottest baby faces. And when he turned heel with Paul Jones, it was a huge thing. So, like, for you to get to train with a guy like Manny Fernandez, what is that like? That's got to be like a dream come true in a sense.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. I mean, and his like his mentality is different from what I learned in WWE 4. Manny treats everything. It's like a shoot. I mean, everything's really based off the sport aspect of wrestling, amateur-wise. So it's almost like learning everything all over again.
Right. So do you fault Mr. Hughes for that? Or, do you feel like WWE4 maybe isn't preparing guys for a little bit better than they can? I mean, how do you feel about that, to train with Mr. Hughes and be taught one way and then kind of have to relearn when you go work with Manny Fernandez?
I don't think any style is wrong. I think he trains you for, you know, like that classic WWE style and, you know, entertainment value type wrestling. And Manny came up in the Southwest under Dick Murdoch and Terry Funk, so his is all, you know, shoot style type wrestling. I don't think any style is wrong. I guess it's good to know more than just one style. Learn
right.
as many styles as you can.
So what do you prefer to work when you work?
I guess I try to mix the two. I mean, I think the style I work really depends on who my opponent is and trying to adapt to them to try to get the best match possible.
Right.
When you say you're trying
the best match, go ahead, Jonathan, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, who have been some of your favorite opponents at the different promotions you've worked at?
I got to work Kyle Matthews at the Crazy 8 in North Carolina. That was really good. And Chase Brown in Union. We pretty much feuded for over a year. Had all types of different matches all over South Carolina. That was all, every time was a good match. It was great. But like y'all mentioned Zane Riley earlier, if I'm going to have a match with Kyle Matthews, you know, I'm going to alter my style for that. And if I'm wrestling Zane Riley, then it's going to be a totally different match. You got to be prepared.
Right. So going back to like we're going to get like a Kyle Matthews or we're going to get like Chase Brown and then we're going to get like Zane Riley, like – how do you know you've had a good match with Kyle and with Chase, and then how do you know you've had a good match with Zane if they're such different styles?
I guess you go by the crowd reactions and whether the boss in the back is happy. I mean, you can feel it also. I mean, if everything's going smooth and everything's working out the way you want it to, if you're doing stuff and the reaction is what you want, then you're like, oh, God. Might have fell flat on that one.
Right. John, you got another question?
At the moment, go ahead.
Okay, so a few days ago, you were talking about, I saw in your Facebook post, you were posting about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and I'm not going to say I'm a hater of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It's just a lot of times I watch it and I'm just like, I'm blown away by the athleticism and the moves they do, but I'm also kind of like scratching my head going, where's the psychology? You're a younger guy in the business, so you come up, you know, kind of really when PWG was kind of starting to hit, and now it's like probably the top promotion in the independents, considering that Ring of Honor is owned by a corporation. So why is PWG so important to you to watch as, you know, as someone in the business? What do you learn from watching PWG, and are you wanting to break out some of that kind of style, you know, in some of the shows you work?
I haven't really ever watched much PW, actually. I came across a lot of recent links to a lot of recent indie stuff, so I've been watching a lot of it. And I mean, they do some really incredible stuff, and that's another thing about, you know, the different styles. I mean, different coast style is so much different in the South. I don't think you could actually do a lot of that stuff they do in the South and get the same reactions. I mean, seems like it's just too much. I think if you take that style and try to like incorporate it into the Southern style, you just take the old school style and just make it a little bit more modern, and I think
right.
it could work.
Okay, so is that something you're trying to incorporate in your own wrestling?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out ways to let it influence the little stuff I do, but I mean, definitely not. Not 100% that style. I would never do that kind of wrestling.
Right. So if you got a Sunday or a Saturday off, you got nothing to do, what's your go-to wrestling DVD or wrestling YouTube videos? What's the first thing you're going to type in the search box to watch?
Probably anything Crockett. Probably. I love watching Midnight Express. I watch a lot of old Kurt Hennig, Brian Pillman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Midnight Express. I've watched a lot of that lately. That'd be my favorite tag team ever.
You mentioned a lot of tag team wrestlers there. I know Brian Pillman also had a solo career, or a singles career, I should say. But is that something that you've done a lot of, or something you'd like to do more of, is tag team wrestling?
I haven't had the opportunity to do too much of it. I don't think it's anything on the horizon either. But, I mean, if I found the right partner, you know, it'd definitely be something that I'd be interested in. It's a whole new set of psychology you have to learn, and I think it'd be a whole new challenge.
So what's it like getting to work with the daughter of a legend like Tully Blanchard?
She's been great so far. I believe that her coming down to Union has been her first real job in wrestling, so she's pretty much learning as she goes, and I mean, every time she's out there, she's getting better and better. So it's great seeing her learn and grow as we go.
Explain a little more about that. I'm not that aware of your work with her. What's been going on?
Well, he's talking about Tessa. She's the daughter of Tully Blanchard.
Right.
She's my valet at Trans South Union.
Okay. Is that the girl that's in some of the pictures I've seen with you?
Yes, that's the gorgeous lady in the pictures.
Okay.
She's my main valet. She'd get mad if I call her a valet.
How did you end up working with her?
They wanted to bring her into Union, and I'm one of the top heels down there, so she's the one I picked to be the manager for. Because that was the lucky choice.
Do you have managers or valets or anything like that anywhere else that you work?
Not currently. I had the lovely Laura when I was in Royston for a while. But I don't think I ever had one since her. That was over a year ago.
Do you prefer to have someone kind of helping you out in that sense, like doing some of the talking for you, or would you rather speak for yourself, or do you like a little bit of both?
It's some pressure off my back, because as you guys can tell, I'm not that great on the microphone.
You said it.
It takes a lot of pressure off of me, and then, I mean, and her being out there, or any valet or manager being out there, I mean, that adds a whole other dynamic. I mean, that you get to add them into the match and change stuff around that you usually can't do, involve them, and it gives you a whole other option.
So going back to you not being good at the microphone or needing to work the microphone, do you feel that that's a lost art in the business in general? Because, I mean, you know, you're not the only person right now that you know, says that they can't talk or have issues talking or anything like that. So why is that part of the game missing, in your opinion? And is it something that isn't being coached backstage, or are bookers and promoters just not really that into it anymore? Like why do you feel it's kind of gone away? Because back, you know, in the 80s and even the 90s, if you didn't talk, you didn't have a job.
I think that's still a big thing about getting a job now. It's just back in those days, every company was successful and every company was on television. So, I mean, every week you had a match and you would go and you would cut your promos. I mean, throughout my career, I don't probably only cut a handful of promos until I started working in Union. And then they're on TV, and I guess they run it kind of like old school 80s, because they're like, you have a match, and it's like, okay, it's promo time, and there's a news crew back there, and they tell you to go cut a promo.
Right. So now with YouTube being so easily accessible, I mean, is it just never really like thought of like you know cutting promos on your cell phone and then, you know, uploading them to YouTube and then, you know, maybe sharing them out? Like, is that just something the guys don't think about, or do people just not realize, you know, how big of a distribution channel YouTube could be?
I know I cut a promo I think it was like a parody promo like a year ago. It was actually pretty good. But, I don't know.
So what did you do with the parody promo?
Well, I was making fun of a guy who cut a promo.
Okay.
Probably the only good promo I ever cut.
How much of that is, if any, is part of your training at WWA 4? Do they strictly just train you in the ring, or do they train you in the ring aspect of the business?
I don't remember getting much training on promos. If they did, I wasn't there that day.
Do you think that's because Mr. Hughes never really talked?
I mean, that could be it. I mean, I guess he probably trains to his strengths. And
he can talk.
On the mic, yeah, if you see his commentary on the WWE 4 matches, he's a pretty good talker. He has to be.
Did Mr. Hughes talk?
I'm trying to remember. I mean, I met him, and he seems like he would be good at he's good at talking.
Because if you think about it, he always had a manager. He had Harvey Wimbledon in the WWF. He had God, who was his manager when he was the Big Cat? And then I know he had Paul Lee in ECW, and then he had somebody in WCW when he was freaking the Big Cat. Might have been Paul Lee there too.
And then when he was with Jericho, he was very short lived anyway. But
he was in the Bodyguard, yeah. Oh, well.
Harley Race managed him and Vader in WCW.
Harley Race, that's who managed him in WCW, that's right. So, yeah, I don't remember him ever not having a manager, now that I think about it. Because even when he did the Indies, a lot of times he took Dave Wills with him.
Yeah. He still does. I mean, as of, like, last year, I went to a show where he was managed by Dave. Well, that kind of makes sense, because I was thinking, when you told Cameron that he was kind of being boring. It reminded me of when we had Jimmy the Kid on.
Not boring. You weren't boring. You were more lackadaisical. It was more like you were giving the vault the vibe that you didn't want to be here. And it's something that John and I have talked about off air a lot of times. Is like, you know, we don't do. I mean, we do it for fun to an extent, but at the same time, we're giving guys a chance to get themselves over. And you know, I'm sure other promoters listen to this show. I know other bookers listen to this show. This is a chance for you to like get yourself out there. And I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I've had a few guys in the past few weeks say, "You need to book Cameron Cade. You need to book Cameron Cade." And I'm all like, okay, I've already booked CB Suave. I've already booked so-and-so. They're kind of the same guy. So I'm looking for, you know, what sets Cameron Cade apart from CB Suave, or what sets Cameron Cade apart from Fry Daddy or Anthony Henry or Chip Day or Jimmy Ray? Like, what makes Cameron Cade Cameron Cade?
I'm prettier than all of them.
That's it? Does pretty still sell tickets? Because I don't see very many women in the crowd anymore.
You put me on the poster, there'll be women there. You know.
So how many women showed up at the UIW show you worked the last time you were on a poster?
Oh, there were a few, but there were none under 60.
What about the last Trans South show you worked? How many women were in the crowd?
That's probably about 100.
About 100 women? Just women.
Yeah.
I got to see photos of this. I got to see photos of these women. So you were the first Southeast Extreme. What is it? Southeast Extreme Championship Wrestling Show? How many women came in there?
Southern Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, whatever. SEECW. I don't know. And I'm sure you've all heard the story before. You know, Bill Dundee goes over, you know, goes from Memphis to Mid-South, and he looks at Bill Watson, and he goes, "Well, where's the blowjobs at, Bill?" And Bill says, "What are you talking about?" And the next thing, superstar Bill Dundee brings in the Rock and Roll. He brings in the Midnights, and then Mid-South, the hottest territory in the early 80s. So it all goes about, you know, if you get women in the crowd, if you can get women in the crowd, if you can prove on paper that you get women in the crowd, then you have a spot anywhere in the business, because women that come to the shows will bring men to the shows to meet the women who like wrestling. And plus, the boys will work for cheaper because they've been doing the blowjob at the end of the night anyway, right?
Good luck.
Isn't that what it's all about in the end, is sex and money?
I haven't got much of that since I've been wrestling, so.
The sex or the money or both?
Both. The women
money,
that I bring
the
in is
part.
Not the kind of have sex with. They're the kind that spends a lot of money to sex things.
So, I have no more questions, Jonathan. I have honestly, I'm out of questions at this time.
Tell us where you're going to be. I saw you're also going to be working a show in Augusta. Actually, tell us a little bit about
you're breaking up.
I saw
yeah,
that
you're breaking
working,
up.
Okay. I saw that you're also working a show, not this weekend, but the following weekend in Augusta. Tell us a little bit about that promotion, because I don't know much about it. Is it called Livewire?
Yep, Livewire Wrestling. They used to run a couple years back. I think they ran biweekly shows here in Augusta. They've been on hiatus for a while, and they're coming back. I'll be working Brandon Walker. I'm pretty familiar with him. We used to work a lot a year ago, but this will be our first match in a while, so see how we both improve and what we can pull out.
Okay, so who that? It's is it Friday or Saturday?
That's going to be a Sunday. June 15th, Sunday.
Okay. So you got Union, South Carolina this Saturday. Do you have any other shows this weekend?
Not this weekend. I have the first anniversary Southern Fried Championship Wrestling next Saturday. I'm in a Coosa Lake Scramble match for the title. And June 21st, I'll be at Passion of Wrestling Drew Adler. Looking forward to that one.
I know you've previously wrestled for Diamond Pro, which I think is down in the same area as Wrestling, right?
Yeah, they run. I believe they're in the same city as Passion Wrestling now.
Are you still working?
I think Dynasty closed or Diamond closed, and then Passion picked up where they were at, or something like that.
Okay.
Jonathan, you're breaking real bad.
Yeah, I think Diamond
Jonathan,
Pro.
Are you there?
I'm here.
You're breaking up real bad.
Here, let me do something.
Well,
all right.
There we go. There we go. I can hear you now.
Sorry. I had the WWE Network up in another browser, but I think it was...
Oh, the joys of Blog Talk Radio.
Speaking of WWE Network, this is completely unrelated, but Josh, I know you have it. Do you have this issue where if you're watching it on your laptop or a computer for more than like 10 minutes, it just goes black and you have to like...
I've had issues with it. I know that it absolutely hates the Chromecast. Like no matter what I do, like it does not want to stream on Chromecast very well. I've got it to work a few times, but nothing major. And then it's just... No, it's I don't know. Like I thought it was like one of the most prolific ideas when it first came out, and Cameron, you can chime in on this too, but I'm going to be honest with you. When my 6 months is up, as of right now, I'm not re-signing because they've not put enough content on, and I'm not talking just old content. I'm just talking about content in general. There's just not a lot of stuff, and then the way they're posting stuff, like they'll post like 3 episodes and skip to like 10 episodes past that. It's like you can't binge watch TV shows like that. It's like I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Telling Johnny Danger that yesterday, actually, that I don't think I'm going to renew once my 6 months
yeah.
up. And I would suspect that they'll have a lot of people doing that, which is going to be interesting in about, 3 or 4 months when everybody's 6 months is up.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a network, Cameron?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I've seen everything that I wanted to go back and watch all the old school stuff. So they don't start updating the content a lot more than, yeah, I'm out.
And that's why I believe, like, I'll be honest with you, if they had all the Raws and all the Nitros, that would give me a year of stuff to watch. But the way they're doing it, I don't have a year to watch. I don't know. It's just, as
a
consumer, I
feel
like they really did it dirty. It's supposed to debut this summer, but as far as I can tell, it's just a documentary. It's not like it's going to be like kind of like how WrestleMania Rewind was. Like they'll say, well, on this episode, on you know, it's going to be like kind of like that kind of show, and that's actually become one of my favorite shows on there. But they only upload one a week, and it's like, could you give me two a week, or could you do something, and then you know, throw some UWF on there for Jesus Christ's sake? I mean, come on, the UWF is the greatest like television promotion of all time.
You can still catch that on ESPN Classic sometimes, can't you?
I don't know. That's the Bill Watts UWF, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought the Monday Night War thing was going to be.
Why they're not putting more up?
I thought they were going to put it. I thought they were going to do it where they were either going to air Raw, you know, the Raw and Nitro from the same night, or it was going to kind of break down as you watched it, kind of show what was going on one channel while the other show was going on or something like that.
Yeah, that might be how they're going to do it. I don't know. It's hard to tell at this point because they oversold it. We all bought it, and now we're all, like, saying, well, this kind of sucks. To me, it's not much better than 24/7, and I don't know if you guys ever had 24/7, but 24/7 got real old real fast.
Yeah.
So...
Cameron, back to you and your schedule. You're doing Passion of Wrestling. When do you say that is?
Saturday, June 20th.
And you're wrestling Drew Adler there? Or did I get that confused with another show?
I thought he said Drew Adler, yeah.
Yes, Drew Adler.
Have you wrestled him previously?
No, this will be the first time. I've seen a lot of his work on YouTube, and I've worked some shows at Diamond Pro there. But usually it's him versus, you know, the BFFs or Zach Edwards, but he's always very entertaining. He's definitely on my list of guys I wanted to work.
So of all the guys on the Indies and the Southeast, who would be your number one guy to work that you've never worked before?
Let's go with Corey Hollis, maybe.
You never worked Corey Hollis? Wow.
Never been in the ring with him.
That seems like an obvious choice. I'm just kind of surprised as well, especially since you've worked Anarchy.
Yeah. My constant Anarchy was mostly six-man tags and Battle Royale.
Oh, okay.
I did get to work Bobby Moore and Mike Posey.
Was that a triple threat match?
Oh, no, different things.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I actually got to work Bobby a couple times. That was always good.
What did you think of Mike Posey? Now that, especially now, is he still the Anarchy champion, Josh? I haven't kept up with it. I'm sorry.
Yes, he is still the Anarchy champion, and he has a ladder match on June 14th.
Against a mystery opponent, right?
Yeah, I guess they're continuing that Franklin Dove angle they've done for a while.
They told me I was wrestling him. I was kind of excited because I knew he had done work for Ring of Honor and stuff. So, I mean, the match was smooth. And I don't know. I think that was right in the middle of the Franklin Dove angle also.
Right. So you worked Anarchy when it was Jerry Palmer owned, and you worked again when it was Franklin Dove owned, correct?
No, I only worked there when Franklin Dove owned.
Okay, so you never okay, but you've been working Royston for quite some time as well, correct?
Yeah, I've worked there at two different periods also.
How is that show?
Well, it's like Anarchy Light. I mean, it has
okay.
It has half their roster and then the mixed bag of guys from other places too that you know
that are trying to get on Anarchy.
Yeah, most of them are just there to try to get
yeah.
Anarchy.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, is there anything else, Cameron, that you want to let people know about? Like, do you have a website, or I know you're on Twitter, Instagram, and everything. Do you want to let everyone know where they can find you?
That's it. Yeah, I have a fan page also. Well, follow me on Instagram, Twitter.
What is your at Cameron Cade with K's?
Yeah, Zach Cameron Cade, Cameron Cade 2099, and Facebook is just Cameron Cade.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and maybe next time if we have you calling again, we'll get your manager to call in with you if she's willing to do that.
Be better microphone skills.
We just need somebody, like, in all honesty, it's not your fault. I didn't realize that it's gotten to the point where guys just aren't being taught to do promos. It's definitely kind of sad. Hell, it's the only thing that's kept me around the business for so long is the fact that, you know, I can somewhat talk.
I'll work on it.
All right. You got anything else, Josh?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling. Good luck in Union this weekend, and then at where else did you say? Southern Pride and Passion of Wrestling, and all the other shows you have coming up.
Live Wire, Augusta.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you later. All right. Josh, have you ever heard of Universal Championship Wrestling?
Say that again.
Universal Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. That's Ron Goss's promotion. He's got Mason Ryan coming in and Percy Watson, and it's in McDonough. It's on June 14th, and I guess he just announced the show is happening on June 14th today. So this is going to be interesting.
The press release, I don't think, had the date on it. But is it?
I saw it on the Facebook page. The Facebook page said the 14th.
I thought it said the 13th. But
maybe it is. So it's either Friday or Saturday night, one of the two. But yeah.
So anyway.
I don't know, man.
Well, the good thing about
I give up.
UCW runs like once or twice a year, and they bring in a bunch of big names. They run a show here and there at like a high school gym or whatever, and then they disappear again. I don't understand.
That's what
the point
he does.
Of it, but
I know Ron Gossett very vaguely. I did go to a show with him back in the early 2004 with the tag team known as Blackouts, where we were almost stranded in North Carolina because of some things that happened at the show in South Carolina, where we had to then go to North Carolina to work the next day because there was no money for the show on the Friday, you know, the show before, you know, the day before. So it was just a weird situation, and it was a mess. And I'm not saying he does it a lot. I'm just saying that he comes in, he'll run a show, like you said, or two shows, and he disappears. And it's consistent like that. So
benefits us, or it has in the past at least, in the fact that we get some bigger name people to call in. And
yes.
So I'm working on that. I don't know who it's going to be yet, but, you know, in the past we've had Buff Bagwell called in because he was working with Ron Gossett.
Right. Yeah, him and Ron Gossett are good buddies. They consistently work together.
Yeah, I don't know if they still are working together because I don't see his name on the poster. But we also had Scott Steiner a couple of years ago. I forget who else. But, yeah, Scott Lance Hoyt, Mason Ryan, Percy Watson. Scott Hall is advertised, so that's actually the one I'm hoping for, since we didn't get him the other time.
Right, Shelly and I heard he's doing much better too. So it definitely was a health thing why he missed that show. So that's good to know that he is doing a little bit better. So
yeah. So anyway, it looks like next week we will have someone from UCW's what is it called? Hometown Throwdown. Yes, it is June 14th, according to the poster on their Facebook page. If not, perhaps we'll have what is our tag team? What's that called?
The Bald Beauties or something?
Bald Besties, Best Baldies, something like that. It's the evolution of the BFFs. We've got a caller. I think I recognize the number. You're on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Larry Goodman. I just wanted to say thanks. I was concerned that I was going to have trouble sleeping tonight, but now I know all I got to do is replay this show, and I'll have no problem.
Oh, God. Was it that bad, Larry?
Well, I was nodding off. But, hey, if you can get Blanchard's daughter on as an interview, go for it. I think that could be real interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the video interview.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, yeah, she's Tully's daughter, and I'm one of the biggest Tully Marks in the world, but she's nothing but eye candy at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like she's hit a career or anything, but...
Not yet. I mean, boy, she's hot, though.
And, of course, the word to the wise to anybody who's the Ron Gossett show is, of course, get your money up front. You just never know.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, while we got you on, Larry, okay, so, and you were actually at the show in Anderson, South Carolina when we almost got stranded,
yep.
So
yep.
You kind of know what happened.
Yep, I was there, uh-huh.
Okay, so anyway, so he runs a show. The first show does really good. He balls the wall. He kills it. Then he runs that second show about a month later, and it's the exact opposite, and people then refuse to ever work for the guy, so then he goes and he gets new guys.
That's been kind of the pattern, and then some guys who thought wouldn't work for him again wind up working for him again anyway. I guess they get their money, but, that's been the pattern over time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Larry, you called in once when we had him and Buff Bagwell on, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that, yep. Mm-hmm.
After some sort of controversy following a string of shows you did one weekend. So,
yeah, that was the time when Buff was, like, maybe injured or something and came to the second one and didn't work, and there was some kind of fuzzy confusion about all that.
Yeah,
oh, dear.
Yeah.
Speaking of Buff, and anyone that knows my history with him knows that it's a pretty long history, I have to give him a nice round of applause. He has cleaned himself up, and I saw him do the Canadian Destroyer the other night on the AIW YouTube page. And if you've not seen it, it's definitely worth checking out. Buff Bagwell hits a very beautiful Canadian Destroyer.
Hey, sweet.
I heard about that. I haven't seen it yet, but I did.
It was actually trending on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it was actually the Batiri guys from Chikara.
One of those guys, yeah.
If you friend them on Facebook, I'm sure they're on Twitter too, but they have some pretty amusing posts, and I think they posted something about that.
Speaking of Chikara, we didn't get to talk about it last week too much because we were actually on the air when the show was on. Larry, they drew over 1,500 people last weekend. In their return show, their largest crowd ever, and then their iPay-per-view set a new record for Smart Mark iPay-per-view video.
What do you make of it?
I think what everyone should do is work an angle when you close shop.
Don't say that.
I don't even know what to tell you. Like,
do it.
But, well, and you know what? If it works, it works. Jesus, I might try it before the 22nd. Text message I just got just made me want to quit the business for the last time.
A text message you just got?
I just got it about 5 minutes ago. That's why I was like, I have no more questions because I was so distraught.
You want to share that?
No, I don't, but it's pretty bad. I have to go play damage control when I get home.
All right. Well, on that note, actually,
it's nothing about the show in general. It's about something that I was working on with the show, and that now I got to find a way around some stuff.
With what show? AWE?
It's AWE business, but just something that I was working on, and someone that was helping me out is not feeling well, so I'm a little behind schedule on some shit.
All right. Well, we'll let you go on that note, but 2 weeks from tonight will be the Monday before your
show.
So can we announce anything as far as guests on this show yet, or do you want to wait till next Monday?
Have you already got a short up?
Already got what?
Have you already got the guest? Have you already talked to him? Because I haven't talked to him yet.
No, I haven't had a chance to. So we'll wait till next Monday.
Yeah, we'll definitely announce it next Monday. So,
all right.
And Larry Goodman returns next Monday.
Larry Goodman is still with us. Did you have anything else, or did you just want to make fun of our boring show tonight?
No. I had a couple of Georgia notes, and forgive me if this is old news, that Miss Rachel got to work the WWE as part of the Adam Rose crew. Is that probably already been published, and everybody knows it already, but...
Oh, I did not know that. I saw that the show in Tennessee the Monday night before had WA4 lady Devin. Devin from WA4 was on the show.
Oh yeah, so she was in it too. Yeah, so
she was in Adam Rose thing.
Miss Rachel was in that one and the SmackDown one on Friday, and the Washington Bullets are booked for the re-debut of Southeastern Championship Wrestling in Knoxville on the 21st.
Oh, nice. That's the Paul Adams show, right?
Yeah. He's fans of theirs. He likes their work, and he's bringing them in.
Oh, very, very nice. Good for the Bullets. That's a good hit for them. Oh, speaking of which, Larry, what was the official total on the show that Paulie ran? Did you ever get any numbers?
No, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, nobody's got any numbers on that one. Or
From someone who was there that it did draw well, but I didn't get a number.
Okay,
yeah, that's,
and then
that's
the Matt Hardy show from the Cobb County Civic Center. Anybody hear about the numbers on that one yet either?
I asked the promoter, so who knows how accurate that is. But he said it was like around 400 or 500.
Really?
Let me look that up.
Because I saw photos. It did not look that packed. But if it was, then good for them, because I know the Hardys got killed yesterday.
Yeah, he said a crowd size just over 500.
Wow. So are they definitely coming back?
I don't know that yet. He didn't indicate one way or the other. I told him to let us know, if they come back so we can talk to him again.
Right.
But he didn't indicate if that was going to happen or not.
Wow. I saw the pictures, it didn't look that bitty. So.
Yeah, and of course, 500 wouldn't look like much in that building. It's such a big building.
That is true. You have a point there. So you do have a point there. So.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think we're good then.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, for those who made it through the whole show. Thanks to Larry. Thanks to Larry for updating us on some things. Thanks to Cameron Cade, and we'll be back next Monday.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.